Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday morning MV Pro call. Today is March 19th, 2020, and I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live, as well as those of you that are listening to this via recording, which of course you can do by going to motorvitality.com and listening to years and years and years worth of these recordings in the archives, or by subscribing to Motor Vitality on Google Podcast or Apple Podcast or whatever podcast application that you use. So, but definitely love having you on live. Today, we're going to do things a little differently today because we have a guest speaker, and I don't want to take away from the time of our guest speaker. I do want to let everybody know that before we even get started, I want to let everybody know that the Water Quality Association has put out a page on WQA.org that has just a ton of excellent links and resources regarding the coronavirus and how to just where to get the information. That information, of course, is coming on a regular basis, but I strongly encourage you to take a look at that page and forward it and share it with your company and with the industry, because it's some of the best collection of resources that I've seen, and it relates directly to our industry. So please check that out. Speaking of the Water Quality Association, that is who we have today as a guest speaker is Dr. Tanya Lubner, who is the Director of Education for the Water Quality Association. Now, it's been a long time since we've had Tanya have a conversation about the modular education program, the MEP. We've been talking about this even before there was talk about sheltering in place and working from home and things kind of slowing down a little bit. But I thought, given the circumstances where a lot of people are self-isolating, still working, I thought this would be a great time to have Dr. Lubner come on and kind of talk a little bit about the modular education program and the WQA certification and you know, some of the changes that we've had since we've implemented it and how the program actually works. So, Dr. Lubner, welcome.
Thank you, Kelly. It's great to be here.
So let's start with let's go all the way back. So some of you are newer to the industry even since the certification program changed. But as many of you know, the way you used to do things was to read a couple books and then go take the exam. It was a very difficult test, but it didn't require any practical experience or real in-the-field knowledge. So, Tanya, I wonder if you could just briefly, before we kind of talk about how the program is put in place and how it works, what was the determining factor? Why did we decide as an organization to move the program, the certification program, to the way it is now? What were the factors that helped make that decision? What's the process been like? I mean, it's been now, 5 years since we've had this program in place, pretty close?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what types of changes, you know, talk a little bit about the process, what made us move to this and how it's kind of adjusted or changed in the last 5 years.
Sure. Before I do that, I want to thank you for mentioning that resources page that we have. And I'm sure you've been seeing resources pages from everybody, and they all say the same thing. How to protect yourself from the virus, et cetera. Our resource page includes information from OSHA. So if you need to protect yourself before going into a home, or if you have to protect your service people, OSHA is doing consultations. So you will see that information there. There's also information specific for small businesses. So from the Small Business Administration, how you can apply for emergency funding. So that information, I think, is very valuable, and you will find it on the WQA.org website. It's under resources. It's the very first item under resources.
Yeah, thank you.
So with that, let me tell you why we changed the program. The professional certification program through WQA has been around since 1977. So we are over 40 years old. And I got to put a plug in for my husband this morning, but he just turned 50 today, so yay for him. Although I think he would have preferred, different circumstances. So the program's been around for quite some time, and it is an excellent way to demonstrate to consumers as well as to regulatory personnel the expertise of our industry. We have a website that lists the certified personnel on our regular Find a Water Treatment Professional that all our members are listed on. That website also includes information about which companies have certified personnel. So it's a really nice way to differentiate yourself from everybody. As far as how we used to do the program, well, again, it's a stamp of approval almost from WQA on people's expertise. And for a while, we were okay with using just the exam to make that differentiation. We had textbooks available. We had live presentations available. And when people had had enough experience in the industry that they felt that they could handle the exam, they might go through the textbooks. They might sit through the 8-hour lecture and then try their hand at the exam. We had on the certified water specialist, the failure rate was 40%. So out of everybody who took the exam, 40% failed it. So that certainly was an issue for us. And then just in general, the changing times were an issue because what we were starting to see was, first of all, frustration from people who thought that they could come in, read a book, and pass the exam. And, yeah, there were some that could do that, especially if you had a strong science background. You could have gotten through most of the exam. But we were becoming concerned as to what did that really mean in the field? You know, what were we telling consumers that, oh, yeah, this guy off the street is now going to go install your arsenic treatment system? And the other issue was that we were starting to see a lot of health contaminants pop up. Nitrates were becoming a real problem. Arsenic was becoming a serious issue. And we were starting to see the personal protection products and endocrine disruptors. We were starting to see that pop up. Field and Stream was publishing articles about frogs changing gender. And there was certainly the concern of what was going to happen to the people drinking that same water. So anytime you start to get into more of the health hazards, the regulatory bodies get more involved. And we wanted to be proactive and make sure that the industry was prepared to take on both the challenges and these health contaminants, as well as to show the regulators that there is a trained workforce that can handle these problems. As much as I appreciate plumbers and what they do, they don't get trained in this. And you know, the plumber's motto is protecting the health of the nation. Well, yes, when you keep the wastewater separate from the drinking water, you are certainly doing that. But the drinking water needs additional attention. And you know, that is just not within their wheelhouse. There are a number of plumbers that take the time to go through our program to become educated, and I think they do a wonderful job. But it really does take, for the water treatment, it takes a separate industry, and it is a separate set of skills and knowledge. So to make sure that people have that set of skills and knowledge, to make the regulators feel a little calmer, we wanted to demonstrate to them that not only did our certificate gather knowledge, but they also had practical experience in the field. And that is what the MEP program, the way it's structured, is all about. We have reading. We have e-learning to reinforce that reading, and then we have field activities that further reinforce the reading and the e-learning, the concepts that are learned through there. And it just so happens that this three-step process, the reading, the e-learning for reinforcement, the application of what you learned in the field, is one of the best ways for adults to learn and retain information. When we sit through a lecture, we get about 10% that we retain. If we're reading, assuming we're not taking notes, maybe 20%. But when you do this three-step process and you see how what seems theoretical actually works in the field, then the retention is higher, the expertise is better.
So we have, let's talk a little bit about the paths and how one goes about. So the, one of the biggest changes that's required now with the certification, in addition to the practical experience that's required. So it's more than just reading, it's going through, it's doing some of the work, but the mentorship is completely different. That was not ever required before, it now is. What's the, you know, what's the idea behind having a mentor? What is required to be a mentor? And, you know, how does that impact the certification?
Mm-hmm. The mentors came about because of this hands-on portion of the training. We needed, if you're going to go out and do practical training, practical examples, well, somebody's got to review them, somebody's got to grade them. And it's a little difficult for us to do centrally because we do have so many students. But the other issue is that, especially for dealers, water chemistry tends to change, as you know, region to region, and our dealers do tend to be regional. So you've got the water chemistry, there's company culture, and having an in-house mentor, having somebody with experience within the specific region, with the specific company, that helps make sure that as somebody new is being brought along, they are learning about the water chemistry and what works in that particular area. They're learning about kind of the tenor of the customers. They're learning about company expectations all at the same time. So we can, instead of having to wait 3 years, 4 years, 5 years to gather enough field expertise, you can take somebody who's new and bring them up significantly in a much shorter time in terms of experience and expertise by having that mentor.
So does that mentor have to be certified themselves?
We are not currently requiring that the mentors are certified. We are trusting this to be a self-selecting process, and it usually is. Because if somebody's going to invest in the training and invest in the time, and then there's the exam at the end, then certainly they want to make sure that they are rounding out that investment by providing somebody who's very interested in getting that new person properly up to speed.
Yeah, and that's in, so just to reiterate that part, because I think that's really critical is the idea, I mean, there's different companies, different manufacturers have different products and different suggestions on, I always felt that was one of the limitations of the books, and you kind of alluded to that, is technology has changed. You have different manufacturers that have different best practices based on their technology. So the books and even the knowledge base that is online, which is just an excellent resource for information, the books, unless you were going to republish them every, you know, 5 years, they just couldn't keep up with the growing, you know, with the advancements in technology. And now having it digital and online, you can, as new technology occurs, you can adjust it, but you can also have a mentor who is aware of the manufacturer, the best practices for that dealership or for that manufacturer, and the regional issues that you run into. So now the challenge comes in that sometimes companies don't necessarily have somebody that, you know, maybe they're coming in new and they want to get the certification. And I know WQA does offer, they have a list of mentors that are available, both paid and unpaid, I believe. And you know, that you can take a look at. I believe those resources are online as well, right, Tanya?
They are. We have launched a paid mentor program, and I apologize for the background noise. That is the first of the congratulatory phone calls my husband's going to be getting all day. But looks like my younger one's up too. So the joys of working from home. Yes, so we do have a list of paid mentors, and we just rolled out that we're calling it our contract mentor program. But we are, at the same time, we're backing off of the volunteer mentors. They have been wonderful. They have given a lot of their time, but we always knew it was a limited thing. And thanks to their efforts, we were able to their efforts, to your efforts, Kelly, because I think you are one of our most commonly used mentors. I think you even are holding the record at the moment for how many learning activities you reviewed. But thanks to all of those efforts, we have a much clearer idea of what this mentoring process looks like, and we were able to go ahead and launch that contract program. And I think it's fair to the mentors as well, because they do put in quite a bit of their time.
Yeah, thank you for that, too. I appreciate that. So let's talk a little bit, for those of you on the call who aren't familiar with this. So there are basically, and the way I always describe this, and I know you and I have kind of taught these classes together at the convention, Tanya, sometimes, but in my mind, I always picture the paths. So the certification path, basically, it all starts at the same place. So you've got the basics and the fundamentals. Everybody, regardless of which path they want to take, starts with the basics and the fundamentals. And then what option, well, maybe you can talk a little bit about what the basics and the fundamentals are, and then mm-hmm. what are their options once they get to the end of the fundamentals, you know, which path does or should a person take, or how would they decide on that?
Mm-hmm. We saw the MEP when we were building it as a wonderful opportunity to cross-train everybody. And so that is one reason that everybody has the same, almost the same, basics and fundamentals. The path, regardless of the certification, as Kelly mentioned, is laid out in three modules. There's that basics, the fundamentals, and then what we call a core module. And we laid this out in terms of tiers of difficulty. So we wanted the basics to be an introduction to contaminants, to drinking water regulations, and to water treatment, as well as a little bit on water testing. But just a very, very introductory material, not really diving into the science too much. In the fundamentals, that's when we get more into the water chemistry, into how the various treatment technologies work, how to size those technologies, and what factors influence how those technologies perform. So, for example, for an RO, you know, there's got to be enough differential pressure at the membrane to push that water through. In certain cases, you might want a booster pump, and we walk you through the calculations to figure out very quickly when you need that booster pump. Once you're done with the basics and fundamentals, the next step up is very specific to the particular certification that you're pursuing. So the core module for a certified water specialist would be treatment design. For an installer, it would be installation, service, and troubleshooting for the service tech. And for sales, it is sales calls and practicing. We don't teach you closing in sales, but we do teach you where to find materials, how to ask the right questions, how to diagnose the problem before you provide the solution. So the idea is that when you pick your certification pathway, you're going to have those three modules. And we have noticed over the years that there's a little bit of tweaking that needs to be done. So, for example, for the installers, it's turning out that the best module for them to start with is actually installation, not basics and fundamentals. So we get them started with installation, get them comfortable working with the program, doing things in the field, and then we bring them in once they've learned the what do they have to do, we come back to the basics and fundamentals and teach them the why. So when you are starting with the program, you would normally start with the basics. In fact, if you are, we do give you the option to kind of dip your toes in and just purchase the basics module as opposed to going for the entire pathway.
So that is that you know, in terms of how they do that, I know that we've had a lot of discussion over this, but currently, if I'm not mistaken, and correct me on this because I don't think this has officially changed yet, but currently, a lot of times you can go in, and a lot of people do, you purchase the entire path, right? Mm-hmm. The basics, the fundamentals, and say the certified water specialist, the designs, which would get you there. You take that, and if you purchase all three of them, you have 1 year to complete those activities, right? So,
yes.
And that's what I have found as a mentor is, and it may be right now, maybe a little different because I think a lot of us over the next few weeks are going to have some time to dedicate, but I think a big mistake a lot of people make is that they commit. You know, I see this in January. This year I'm going to get certified, and they buy the whole thing, and then life happens and you get busy, and next thing you know, they're in October. And it's possible, but it's really unlikely that you're going to be able to do this program justice by completing the entire thing in 2 or 3 months, you know, mm-hmm. And so I know that WQA takes a lot of calls. I know they sometimes cycle through me and I forward them over to you or John or Daniel and you know, where people are saying, can I have more time? I just simply ran out of time. So my recommendation to people generally is to do what you suggested. If they sign up for the basics right now, they have a year to complete that basics program. It shouldn't take that long. The basics is pretty easy. But then they can sign up again. They can sign up then for the fundamentals, and that gives them the time to give it its justice. The only problem with doing it that way is it doesn't hold as much accountability for them. You know, I think it's good that they have that time pressure. And we have on the committee for this talked about not giving a full year, you know, because as it stands right now, I think you could technically have 3 years to complete the program, correct?
You could. Yeah.
Yeah.
As you mentioned, we have discussed in committee that we will probably be looking at shortening the subscription times for individual modules. So the basics, I think we're looking at no more than 3 months.
Right.
For the fundamentals, probably something similar.
But that would allow you to pick up, even if you did, if you signed up for them a la carte, you only had 3 months to complete the basics. Then if it were another 2 months before you started the fundamentals, you might have, you know, 4 or 6 months or whatever we determined there to complete that one. And you could still, but it would shrink the amount of time that it took, which I think is important anyway, because if you start the basics and it takes you 3 years and now you're taking the exam 3 years after you started the program, you're less likely to have a lot of success there because it's that the amount of time that you learned the first stuff is just, there's a lot there. On the other hand, life does happen. And I think that it's important to recognize that. So now the other thing that we have been working on, and this is definitely different since the last time you and I spoke about this and recorded something to put online. We now are, one of the biggest complaints that we have received are from those individuals that have been in the industry for, you know, 20 years or 10 years, and they go back to the basics, you know, in particular, I think, for the installers program, but also for somebody who's been in the industry for a long time. And the challenge has been that a lot of people that have been in the industry for a long time, they might know a lot about the water right there in their region or their area, but they don't really know, you know, they're limited on that knowledge. There are a lot of companies out there that want to get their team certified, but then they're frustrated with the amount that they have to do, you know, to go all the way back to the basics, and they don't want to make them chemists is a common one that we hear. Can you talk just briefly about the challenge task force and what we're doing to make adjustments there for the for those individuals out there who might have a lot of industry experience and, you know, maybe where we're going with that?
Mm-hmm. We pretty early on, we realized that our program was structured for somebody who's brand new to the industry, and the activities that we have reflect that. We realized that we needed to have something for people with more experience, but to be honest, we didn't think that there would be that much interest in getting certified all of a sudden from people who've been in the industry for 10, 20 years. And we did have, early on, we had what we call accelerated pathways. And the first pathway is available to those that have a minimum of 2 years experience in the field. The next one is for those with 5 years experience in the field. And what those pathways do is that they cut out all of the very introductory materials, such as getting to know what products your company carries, what do the service techs do, if you're in sales, what do the installers do, or if you happen to be one of the other job roles, what do the salespeople do? So we tried to go through and make sure that we culled all of those very basic items out. Because there is quite a bit of information that we're finding people who've been in the field for 10, 20 years don't know. And we structure the program to try and get that information to them and build up their knowledge and their expertise. On the installer side, though, what we're seeing is that the employers are telling us there's a better way to handle the cross-training we wanted to make happen than the way we structured the MEP. So what we're working on right now with the Challenge Task Force, specifically on the installer certification, is to make sure that we cover everything that's needed for the installer to be successful in installation and then still have a pathway for them to pick up additional knowledge. But we are paring back a little bit from the new requirements, and it's actually starting to look a little bit more like the previous installer requirements. So we are still going to achieve that goal of cross-training, but now we're going to provide a little more flexibility. So we are focused on people with 5 or more years of experience in the field. We have compiled with a task force of employers. We've compiled a list of experiences that we expect the installers to have had in the field and have done successfully. And now we're looking at compiling a list of knowledge topics. And once we have that, the employer and the certification candidate will be able to review those knowledge topics. And if there's anything they're a little uncertain about, they will be able to go into the MEP and work specifically on those topics. And of course, also from those topics, we're going to make sure the exam matches up as well. So it's a nice, nice little restructuring there.
So Tanya, we're just about out of time here, but I wonder real quick if you could give just your thoughts very quickly on why would somebody be interested in certification? If somebody called you up and said, okay, why should I get certified? What would your short answer be on that?
My short answer, I've got one word for you: confidence. And it is, you as an employer or a business owner or somebody who's out there doing the sales, you can be confident that you have the knowledge, that you have the expertise, because you've gone through that training, you've picked it up. Your customers can be confident that they have somebody who understands what needs to be done, the proper way of doing it, providing and protecting that water for them. And for the employer, it is so freeing to be able to rely on your people. So when you know that they've gone through this program, which is essentially an industry standard for level of knowledge, you can be confident that they're going to do the right thing in the field. And it leaves you free to focus on your own work.
Do you have time to answer any questions if anybody has any real quick?
Absolutely. I've got to be on a call in half an hour, but until then.
Well, we got to finish up before then. But are there any quick questions for Dr. Lubner from anybody? And of course, you can always shoot an email over to us and explore this further as well. But anybody have any questions or thoughts on this? Perfect. Okay. So, Tanya, thank you so much. I know that you have worked tirelessly on this for years and years and years, and there have been a lot of challenges. We've adjusted this thing. There's so much more that we could talk about it. And I will say from a personal side, it's been an honor to be part of this process and this growth from the very beginning. I'm going to just say this to finish it up. I will tell you that people I have found that somebody who completes this program, they, even after 6 or 9 months, will often know more and understand more about this industry and how the technology works and how to solve water questions than many people that have been doing this for 10 or 15 years. It's a really great program. It's not necessarily an easy program, but it is well worth it if this is what you're choosing to do in your profession. I strongly encourage everybody. And what better time than to do that now when you have time to sit down and look at it, so that when all this stuff is over, you've at least got a head start on it. So, and we're going to have this in recording. So at this moment right now, we're dealing with this whole coronavirus. Somebody listening to this and hopefully in a year, we'll go, what stuff going on? But anyway, Tanya, thank you so much. I truly am appreciative and hope you enjoy your working at home, and happy birthday to Ed. So,
thank you. Thank you for having me on.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Be safe. We will talk to you. We are going to continue to hold these calls regardless, and actually doing some other virtual stuff. So stay tuned for that. But everybody be safe. Stay safe, please. And we will talk to you next week, if not before. Thanks, everybody.
Bye-bye.